time had to do with the strengths and weaknesses of spouses. And I was reminded about a time when someone asked my wife what my weaknesses were. First of all, what business did they have of asking her? That might be a weakness on my part. But then her answer was, well, do you want a dissertation or do you want just a list? I didn't like that response, and especially when she came back and told me what all she told the individual. But she knows my weaknesses, and I think that all spouses do. The second thing that I took a note on concerned what Brother John said about usually after about 4 or 5 days, husbands and wives can't even remember what they fought about. Again, apparently he doesn't know my wife. Within just seconds, she can recall with vivid detail everything about that argument. She's not here. She doesn't need to know. That'll be another fight. Again, it's good to be here. I am always thankful for the opportunity that I have to be with brethren of like minds, and this is certainly a great congregation, and we're thankful for the good work that you do in the brotherhood. As announced, my topic today has to do with respect for authority beginning in the home. You know, if we were to ask individuals where respect for authority is to be taught, we'd probably come up with all kinds of answers. Some would probably say it shouldn't be taught at all. Others would say that probably it needs to be taught in the school system. Others, well, we learn these things, what they might call, at church. But the Bible is clear. Respect for authority begins at home, and we're going to go into some more details concerning that. But let me go ahead and give you the points that we're going to go over this afternoon. Number one, we're going to talk about the fact that respect is essential, in spite of what some people say. Respect is essential. Number two, we're going to notice that rebellion is extensive. Number three, we'll notice the remedy for the problem is elementary. And then we'll see that responsibilities are involved and that results are ensured. So let's talk about the first point this afternoon. Respect is essential. It is essential in a number of areas. The way that I have it outlined in the book is this. Respect is essential. Well, it's not exactly outlined like this. You'll see a little bit of a difference. But we divide it into three categories. Respect is essential, number one, in the home. Number two, respect is essential in society at large. And in the book, what I pointed out basically was civil authority. I think that we can go beyond that and talk about some other realms within the social circle, separate and apart from the home. But then also we notice that respect for authority is essential in the spiritual realm. Let's talk about each of these for just a moment. Concerning the home, the very first institution that God set in order was and is indeed the home. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and we find this taking place. God set the home into motion. He is the author of it. And certainly he gives the parents of the home the role of responsibility. Think, if you will, about a couple of verses. One is in Proverbs. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. We could go to the New Testament and read words like these from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and following. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And by the way, my children have Bible verses that they memorize, and guess which one was one of the first ones? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a great verse, isn't it? But the text goes on, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It is the responsibility of parents to teach respect for authority, but it is the responsibility of parents to be in a position of authority. Bear in mind that this authority is regulated by the scriptures. For example, in the verse that we just read, the phrase in the Lord indicates that parents must be, the instruction that they give must be in line with biblical mandates and teachings. Colossians 3:21 calls on fathers to not provoke their children to wrath. So it's regulated, and we understand that. It has to be in line with God's word. Now, let's talk about the fact that respect for authority is essential as far as the social realm is concerned. I know that the home is one of the basic units, if not the basic unit of society, but I want to separate that a little bit. Let's talk about society at large. We can talk about civil authority, we can talk about the school, and we can talk about the workplace. All of those are realms wherein authority is to be respected, realms wherein authority is essential. Consider, if you will, the chaos and the confusion that would exist if there were no authority. I think that we got a pretty good picture of this just a week or so ago, didn't we? You think about all of the confusion and chaos that existed in New Orleans and that area as a result of the hurricane. Where were those individuals in positions of authority? They were being overrun. And we understand that there were some people who ended up having to take things in order to survive. And if you want to debate that at all, you can talk to Brother Price. But other people were just looting. They were stealing. It was mass chaos and confusion. There has to be respect for authority in the social realm and in the civil realm, where that takes place. But the Bible is clear concerning civil authority. We can go to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained or ordered of God. He set them in motion. And remember again that even in that realm, things are regulated by the Word of God. You remember the response that those in Acts chapter 5 gave when they were told not to teach or preach in the name of Christ. We ought to obey God rather than men. There is a realm of authority or a position of authority that those in the civil realm possess. But at the same time, it cannot conflict, or we cannot allow ourselves to be in conflict with the Word of God. But we could go also to Ephesians chapter 6. We mentioned that as far as the authority that parents possess, and we could move on down a little bit further in that same chapter and find at least the principle of employee-employer relationships and the fact that employees are to be subject to the authority of their employers. So I think at least the principle is there, and we understand that. Again, think about the chaos and the confusion that would exist in the workplace if there were no one in charge, if there was no kind of authority. Respect is essential then in that realm. And then we can also go and talk about spiritual authority, and really this is key and center of everything that we're talking about today, isn't it? Spiritual authority. As we go out and we talk to individuals about what they believe and what they preach and what they teach and what they practice concerning religious matters, we'll have a variety of answers concerning what they do as far as authority or what authority they appeal to. You'll have one individual saying, well, I do this particular thing because I believe, I think, I feel that it's right. So they appeal to the conscience for their authority. You have another individual that say, well, this is just the way that I've always done it. And by the way, you'll even have members of the Lord's church saying that. Well, this is the way that we've always done it. This is just our tradition, and so this is the way that we're going to continue to do it. We need to make sure that we have a Bible answer. That's where authority originates, in God's Word. One point that I made in the manuscript is this, that even though the church is the third institution set up by God, Matthew 16, 18, the fact is authority does not proceed from the church. Authority proceeds from God. Brother Beller pointed that out earlier this morning. We have the responsibility of heeding that which God says and that which Christ says. Remember, He is in authority, Matthew 28, 18 and following. Remember John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We must appeal to Him for authority. We must respect His authority. We're going to be judged by His word. So there must be respect for authority in the spiritual realm as well. So respect, specifically respect for authority, is indeed essential. Now let's talk about the fact that rebellion is extensive. Not everyone possesses respect for authority. Rebellion is extensive. It's everywhere. We can drive down the road. Just general observation tells us that rebellion is rampant. We can drive down the road and every once in a while you'll see a bumper sticker that says question authority. You've seen that before, haven't you? And by the way, there is some, let me go ahead and stress this and say it hopefully in a way that you understand what I'm talking about. There is some validity to that idea. I often tell people where I'm preaching, don't believe everything that I say. As a matter of fact, sometimes I even tell them to consider me a liar if they need to. Check what I'm saying with the Scriptures. Make sure that what I'm teaching and what I am preaching is in accord with this book. If it's not, then you must reject me. So there is that sense in which we have to question authority. But I think the intent of that bumper sticker has to do with don't believe anybody and don't follow anybody at all. Well, the Bible is clear that authority and respect for authority is indeed essential. But anyway, just general observation tells us that rebellion is rampant. We can go into a school system and we can see children disrespecting the various rules of the school and their teacher. We could go into various homes and hear children talking back to their parents and disrespecting the authority. One thing that Brother Beller pointed out is that a lot of times we have children telling parents what they're going to do. I read an article not too long ago by B.J. Clark concerning dancing in the prom, and one of the lines, one of the sentences that he had in that article had to do with this, that parents have relinquished their authority, they have become afraid of their own children, and have allowed their children to make the rules. And we hear of some parents saying, well, I just can't do anything with him or her. You can kick him out, can't you? At the very least. There are certain things that we can do. We want to demonstrate love, and we're going to talk about the encouragement that children need. But at the same time, we need to remember that the Bible gives a certain order that we are to follow. But the fact is, general observation tells us that rebellion is rampant. And again, we could go back and talk about rebellion that exists in the spiritual realm. Individuals that do things because they want to do them, because of traditions, anything but what God's Word has to say. Well, let's also talk about some statistics that tell us about this rebellion. In the book, I have this information. The Bureau of Justice Statistics did a survey, and it stated this. Some 900 people are imprisoned in the United States every week. 900 people per week are arrested and put into jail. According to that same report, last year, one in every 138 U.S. residents was incarcerated, bringing the total population of our prisons to 2.1 million people. We know that the crimes vary. We even know that there might be one or two people in the system that are there innocently, that they ought not be there. But in all reality, even though the crimes may differ, going back to this idea of respect in general and then respect for authority in particular, every person that's incarcerated and for the right cause is there because of some kind of lack of respect, whether it's lacking the property of somebody else or disrespecting and rebelling against civil authority in general, they're there because of a lack of respect. And so, again, statistics tell us that rebellion is a problem. And then, of course, divine revelation tells us the same. We could go all the way back to the beginning and see that rebellion has been a problem since almost the very start of this world, this universe. We find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, Adam and Eve partaking of that forbidden fruit. We could move a little bit further up into the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 9, and find King Saul making excuses as to why he rebelled against God. We could go to the New Testament and we find Peter indicting those in Acts chapter 2 of rebelling against the authority of Christ and in fact going even further and murdering him, having no respect for God and His will. So the Scriptures tell us that rebellion is rampant. In fact, every sin that has ever taken place has to do with rebellion in one sense or another. I was in a discussion probably last year, I don't remember exactly when, it was a written discussion back and forth with an individual who holds to Calvinism. And he kept insisting in this, obviously as the doctrine of Calvinism does, he kept insisting that we inherit sin. But 1 John 3, 4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. So the question that I kept asking him was, what sin does an infant do? What law does he transgress? And obviously he didn't have an answer for it. He simply kept going back to this idea that it's something that's inborn in an individual, something that we inherit. Sin is something that we do, not something that we inherit. But the fact is every sin has to do with rebellion. So rebellion is extensive. So what can be done? Actually, the remedy is elementary. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I just want to go over two things that we've really already noticed. Number one, the Bible is the center of the solution. I heard someone say several years ago that before I ever had a problem, the Bible had a solution. What a great observation, isn't it? Before I ever had a problem, the Bible had a solution. Listen, that even includes personal things that I encounter in my life. Difficulties that I face. Isn't it wonderful that we can go to God's Word and find comfort there? You think about one of the most well-known passages from the Bible is what? Psalm 23. Why? Because of the comfort that it provides. Before I ever had any kind of problem with any kind of trial that I have experienced, that passage was there. There's the solution. Well, the same thing has to do with rebellion and the lacking of respect for authority. The solution is in God's Word, and so we need to go to that. And that brings us to the second point under this idea that the remedy is elementary. The Bible, which is the authority, tells us that respect for authority, this is our subject, begins at home. It begins in the home. While it is a good idea for school systems to teach respect for authority, while it is essential that this message is proclaimed from the pulpit and from the classroom of the local church, at the same time, it begins in the home. And there are a lot of people that want to rid themselves of that responsibility, but the fact is, God's Word proclaims this. And so let's move on to the next point. Having that in mind, that we must go to the Bible, and that the home, and specifically parents, are responsible, let's talk about this idea that there are responsibilities that are involved. Number one, there's this responsibility. Recognize the role of the home. And that's what we keep saying again and again. And even more specifically, parents need to recognize their role as far as instilling respect for authority. Something that I mentioned in the book is this. Concerning the position of parents, I said that parenthood is a God-given position. Number two, it is a life-molding position. And number three, it is a heaven-preparing position or role. That's what we're talking about under this one point. Recognizing that there are roles that need to be fulfilled. Parenthood, number one, is a God-given role. Isn't that wonderful? Think about your children. I know that sometimes you just want to wring their scrawny little necks, don't you? But you wouldn't give them away for all the money in the world. You think about what abortion has done in this country. Lack of respect for life. Think about what the psalmist said. He stated this in Psalm 127, 3 and following. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children are not a burden. They're not a problem to be gotten rid of. They're a blessing. And thus the position of parenthood is a blessing. And again, I've seen some infants in here already this morning. I've got a little girl that'll be 3 in November and a little boy who turns 6 in May. And I can still remember what is called sleep deprivation. You bring the child. I had a friend of mine actually after his little girl was born. He showed up at our house at about, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And they had just gotten that little baby home. And he showed up and he had a 5 o'clock shadow. His hair was all tousled. His eyes were bloodshot. And I just laughed and I said, isn't it fun? Sleep deprivation. But you wouldn't give them away for anything. Parenthood is a God-given role and position. It's a blessing, not a burden. Also, it is a life-molding role. One verse that was quoted earlier is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know the various positions that people take on this verse, whether it's talking about using a child's natural talents to kind of mold him in life's way, or even training him spiritually, which I think both are involved, the point is still the same. Parents have the responsibility, and let me go ahead and stress this, the grand privilege of molding those young lives. My little boy, he has a genetic disorder called FG syndrome. And it, in a lot of ways, it mimics autism, just in social ways. But we've told people before, and we've tried to tell doctors this and teachers so they can get a good grasp of how to instruct him. In a lot of ways, he's like a little computer. Where our daughter, she, and you know how children are. Under normal circumstances, they just pick up things. You don't know where they learned them. Everything just comes naturally. Well, with my little boy, he's almost like a computer. You have to program him to do certain things. I still remember the day that my wife taught him how to play make-believe. He didn't even understand that. But he had to be taught. He had to be trained on those things. But really, all children are like that to an extent. I know that most children pick up things naturally, but at the same time, we teach our children, don't we? We program them. And by the way, that brings us to our third little sub-point here, that parenthood, not only is it a God-given role in a life-molding position or role, it is also a heaven-preparing role. We have the grand privilege of molding our children and their lives in such a way that they make it to heaven. I heard an individual who's here this afternoon say that he understood that with the birth of a couple of his children. That at first, when his first child came into the world, he thought that God had given him a gift, and he was so thankful for that. And then all of a sudden he realized by the births of his second and third, who were twins, I believe, if that's right, that he was just a steward. And isn't that a good way to look at parenthood? Yes, God has given us children, but at the same time, we are just stewards of their souls. And we have a responsibility of making sure that their souls, when they leave this world, are just as pure as when they came into this world. That's a grand opportunity that parents have, and one that a lot of people throw away. Now, I say all of that to get us back to the idea and the point that automatically included in all of those things is instilling respect for authority. Children must be taught that respecting authority is essential. It's essential in the home, in the social realm, and especially so in the spiritual realm. Children must be taught. Now, let me go ahead and state this. Also in connection with this, we need to realize that children need to be taught. It needs to be clarified to them that there are consequences of not respecting authority. And a lot of times this will have to do with even physical discipline, corporal punishment it might be called. And a lot of people don't like that, but the Bible teaches that it is necessary, and it does teach children that there are certain consequences to their actions. If they do not respect authority, they have to pay a price. Think about some Proverbs. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Notice that term, hope. Isn't that really what we've just been talking about concerning the rearing of our children? Hope. We cannot give them hope if we do not teach them that there are consequences to rebellion. They need to be instructed in that way. Also, Proverbs 23:13 and following, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And also, the rod and reproof give wisdom, Proverbs 29:15. Sometimes that's necessary. Children need to be taught that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's pleasant to do, but the final result is certainly worth it. Also, bear in mind that we need to practice what we preach. We need to practice what we preach. Remember what I said about my little girl just a little while ago? She just picks up things naturally, and I know that your children have done that as well. But children see our actions, don't they? They hear what we say, and they see what we do. And they are not fooled by this practice that some parents take of do as I say and not as I do. That does not work with children. It does not work. Well, boy, talk about leading by example. My wife said the other day she heard our daughter in her bedroom screaming and ranting and raving at her imaginary friends. It turns out that her imaginary friends were being rather mean and they needed to be disciplined. Now, where did she learn that screaming and ranting and raving and ranting and raving at her friends and her children? She picked that up, I guess, from us. She was scolding them. They were in trouble. We need to remember that little eyes are watching us. And they're going to do what we do. And they'll remember what we say. So we need to make sure that we lead by a good example. When we do these kinds of things, please notice this, that results are ensured. When we teach our children the importance of respecting authority, when we show them by our examples, when we teach them with our words, there are going to be certain results. Number one, let's start with the home. Some of the problems that Brother Beller brought up a little while ago will not exist in a home where respect for authority exists. I'm not saying that every home is going to be perfect. One of the things that we were taught at preacher training school, you know, some people would talk about the problems at a certain congregation that they had tried out at, and the instructors would repeatedly tell us, there is no perfect congregation. And then if you did find it, by the time you got to work, it would become imperfect the minute you showed up. There is no perfect home. We all have to deal with certain issues. There are certain adjustments that need to be made. But at the same time, when respect for authority is in the home, it will be a godly home. There will not be problems with divorce. Why? Because the husband and wife respect the authority of Christ concerning that particular issue. There will not be a problem concerning love and honor. Why? Because they respect what Christ has to say on that matter. They will bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in that home. Why? Because they respect the authority of the Bible. And they're going to do exactly what the Bible says. They're going to be instilling in their children what needs to be taught, encouraging them, warning them, leading them by example. Wouldn't you love to be a part of a home like that? I'm sure that you already are. And if you're not, do what you can to make the changes that are necessary. There are a lot of people who are from broken homes, and again, we heard some statistics earlier. Those kinds of things would not exist if everyone respected authority. These are some of the remedies that we're taught, or the results of going by the remedy of God's Word. One thing that I stated in the book, and I want to emphasize, is this. When every member of the family plays his or her God-given role accordingly, the home becomes a place of love and harmony. Rather than being an abode of chaos and conflict, it is a place of continuity and peace. It is not a place from which members wish to flee in despair, but a haven to which they run for security and comfort. A place with consistent boundaries. There are a lot of young people who end up going out into the world and getting married when they ought not, simply for the purpose of escaping mom and dad, getting out of a home that is filled with turmoil and troubles. It's not like that in a godly home, is it? In a home that respects authority. It's a place of harmony and peace. And again, this idea of continuity, consistency. That's one of the results when respect for authority begins at home. But what are some other results? Another point that I listed in the book is this. There are peaceful societies. Remember that the home is the basic building block of society. So if the home is everything that it ought to be, what's going to take place with society? And you know as well as I do that I'm talking about a utopia here. But this is the way that it could be. And this is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be going out and teaching individuals this. How do we change society? Do we go out with picket signs? And it starts by preaching and teaching the gospel. converting souls, encouraging individuals to make their homes like they ought to be, and that's going to spill over into society. If the basic building block of society is everything that it ought to be, again, society as a whole is going to be what it should be. So that's another result. A third result is, or are, united congregations. The church is in trouble in a lot of places. And a key problem has to do with disrespecting the authority of Christ. But again, if it were taught in the home like it should be, and if it were taught in the local congregation like it should be, think about the unity that would prevail in the local church. You wouldn't have problems with a Diotrephes or a false teacher. Why? Because they respect God and His Word. And they want to do His will, not their own will. Not something that's just going to tickle the ears of hearers. Not something that's going to fill up their own belly. Not something for power or prestige. They're going to do it to glorify God and honor the Christ who so willingly gave Himself for us. That'll be a result of respect being instilled in the home. And then also, and finally, there will be saved souls. When all is said and done, the ultimate and most important result of properly respecting authority is the eternal security of the souls of mankind. That's what it comes down to. That's why we talked about molding that little child. That's why we talked about instilling this principle in young people as they grow up in the home. Why? Because they're going to learn to respect the authority of God, and when they respect His authority and His Word, they will do those things that are outlined in this book. They will submit themselves unto the author of eternal salvation. And their souls will be saved. Respect for authority. Where does it start? Hopefully it's already started in your home. Hopefully your children and your grandchildren and maybe even your great-great-grandchildren have learned these principles and this truth because of the things that you've done. What you've taught, and what you've displayed. If it's not the case, we hope and pray that we will reconsider our actions, remembering again that there are eyes that are watching us, and their souls are at stake. As we conclude this afternoon, I want to continue with this idea of the soul. That again is the reason that we're here, isn't it? We want to be strengthened, we want to be encouraged, we want to be uplifted, we want to be taught God's Word so that we can make sure that our souls are secure and prepared for heaven. It might very well be the case that you are here this afternoon and you're not a Christian. Friend, we would beg of you, please, submit yourself to the authority of Christ. Respect His will, which is found in this book. Believe on Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him and be baptized to have your sins washed away. If it is the case that you've already become a Christian in the past, having done those things, but have not remained faithful, perhaps you have rebelled against the authority that is in place in the home. No matter what that might be, you have ultimately rebelled against the authority of God. We would encourage you to make things right while time and opportunity are yours. Again, God has done so much for you. He's done so much for me. Let's not take these things for granted. But let's demonstrate our love for Him. And by the way, I read not too long ago, and this makes a good point. There is no other way that you and I can respond to the great love of God than by obedience. That's it. That's all we can do. The only way that you and I can repay, and I know that that's not probably a good term, but the only way that we can respond to God in view of everything that He's done for us is by obeying Him. That's what He calls on us to do. Do you need to obey Him today? Having disobeyed Him in the past or having not yet become a Christian by initial obedience? If you have a need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.